And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Yes, so here again, folks, your good friends Vic and Sade, brought to you by the makers of Crisco.
Well, Sade occupies her husband's easy chair reading the newspaper. Russell lounges on the davenport with a storybook. And the master of the menage at the library table contemplates an assortment of documents spread out before him with a facial expression definitely hostile. And Sade observes,
"Hey, what you making faces at?"
"Do I contort my features into unlovely grimaces?"
"I'll say. Is it your work you're mad at?"
"Yeah."
"Office worker?"
"Well, not strictly speaking, no."
"Fred Stembottom's working this evening."
"Is he?"
"Putting in overtime at the foundry."
"I adore the way the golden hairs grow on Fred Stembottom's firm brown wrists."
"Oh, you are mad." "Never mentioned at the supper table you were going to be busy tonight."
"Something I've been putting off."
"What is it?"
"Oh, darn half-wit Christmas present junk."
"Oh, Mr. Rubush?"
"Uh-huh."
"You still trying to decide what to buy him?"
"Uh-huh."
"You were bellyaching and complaining about that job weeks ago."
"Yeah."
"What's all the papers you got there?"
"Trash. Nothing but trash. Everybody down at the plant handed me a slip with suggestions on it. These are the suggestions."
"No good?"
"Sickening, sad, forlorn, dismal, wretched, melancholy. What you doing, side saddle?"
"Nothing much. I'm trying to read this book, but I can't get interested. And I'm listening to you and Mom's conversation this half an hour, and also getting ready to scratch my head, which I'm convinced is going to start itching any minute. And also wondering if Wester Crackle will call me on the telephone."
"You are verbose, wordy, and garrulous."
"Yes. Lots of others just told me that same thing."
"Well, climb up off in that davenport and come assist Papa." And I stepped my neck out a mile further and was already stuck out. "You just mentioned me bellyaching about this job they saddled on me."
"Uh-huh."
"Well, I bellyached down at the office. I said it was too much responsibility for one man to take."
"Uh-huh. Picking out and purchasing a Christmas present for the boss."
"That's right. Well, some wise cookie got this idea. Let every employee hand Mr. Gook a list of suggestions."
"Sounds like a bright enough notion to me."
"Oh, boy."
"Not so bright, huh?"
"Read a few out loud, White House."
"You mean read some...
Pick up one of them slips of paper."
"Any one of them?"
"Yeah. Listen to White House now."
"All right."
"I'd been better off to let the whole thing ride along the way it was."
"People make you the goat down at that office, Vic."
"Well, sure they do."
"I'd put a stop to it." "Well, I would."
"Listen to White House."
"Mm.
Shoot, White House."
"No. I spoiled the plea."
"R. Spaldiquini. Listen to what R. Spaldiquini suggests we buy the boss for Christmas."
"No."
"Guitar, overshoes, pillowcases, or fudge?"
"R. Spaldiquini for you."
"He's being funny."
"Very funny. R. Spaldiquini is one of them self-appointed humorists. Somebody ought to walk up to R. Spaldiquini and say, 'Let's shake hands, R. Spaldiquini,' and then haul off and kick R. Spaldiquini in the shin."
"Well, it's kind of comical."
"Yeah. Guitar, overshoes, pillowcases, or fudge?"
"Read another one."
"Okay."
"What I ought to do is to take my vacation at Christmas time every year. Then they could saddle this outrage on some other poor boob."
"I-I-phobie."
"Yeah, I-I-phobie. Let's hear the fruit of I-I-phobie's profound thoughts."
"He wrote down funny stuff, too."
"Yeah, I bet he did. A great wag, I-I-phobie. An inexhaustible geyser of side-stricken jokes."
"Hat band, horseshoe, hacksaw, or hydroplane?"
"I-I-phobie, you're a card."
"Well, I don't see what there is to get upset about. All you have to do is throw the foolish suggestions away. Just keep the good ones."
"Aha, good ones. Read some good ones, picnic baskets."
"George L. Hinks submits a batch."
"Read them all."
"Iodine, ivory, incinerator, and ink."
"I will perish from the funniness of these comedians."
"Oh, well, it's a temptation to act the fool when somebody asks you to fill in stuff."
"Born?"
"Yes."
"Huh?" "Oyster Cracker dearly loves to fill out junk where it says born. That means for you to write in New York or Chicago or Moline or Peoria or wherever it happened to be. But Oyster Cracker always writes down yes."
"Well, I don't get the connection."
"Where you're born." "Yes, I was born."
"No, I don't get the connection."
"Well, the connection is simplicity itself. You see,
it's a temptation to act the fool when somebody asks you to fill in trash. That time the Thimble Club visited the city waterworks, half the ladies scribbled crazy stuff in the guest register."
"Born?"
"Yes." "Oh, please don't say born yes anymore, Sonny."
"Well, the connection is simplicity itself."
"Well, never mind." "No, but they did. Ruthie signed herself, 'Puddin' Tame, ask me again, I'll tell you the same.'"
"Yeah, that's a well-known human characteristic. You take the average questionnaire and you'll discover 9 out of 10 people..."
"Even big importance, la-di-da, Miss Apparat put down Mrs. Charles McDermott Rincey, Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy." "Oh, I never forgot that because it rhymes."
"Mm-hmm."
"I wouldn't have ever thought Miss Apparat had a silly streak like that in her."
"Mm.
She did, though, and it come cropping out. picked up the pencil on the chain there in the city waterworks and wrote in the guest register, Mrs. Charles McDermott Rincey, Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy.
Isn't it Miss Helen's dandy Christmas present list?
She's Mr. Rubish's private secretary.
Uh-huh. Watch, handbag, cane, lounging robe, military hairbrushes, easy slippers,
well,
high
those
pack.
Ain't funny.
No, but she's got so many. 29 suggestions she's got.
Aren't any of them any good?
No. And I haven't told you the other angles to this thing yet. Every half-witness brother wants tags tied on the numbskull present of a size in keeping with the amount of dough they pitched in the kitty.
Oh?
Ike Nishtuffer, for instance, will sweeten the pot to the tune of 5 berries. Joey Smith, the office boy, will cough off a dime. Ike feels the boss ought to know the difference in their respective contributions. He don't want his name on the same tag with Joey's. He wants Ike Nishtuffer on a great big tag by itself.
Oh.
And everybody else that chips in more than a quarter feels that way. I'm the poor hyena that has to make all the tags.
How many is there?
I don't know. Enough to choke a horse.
Well, given Christmas presents is supposed to be something beautiful. You people down at the kitchenware plant make it a dog-eat-dog proposition.
I'll say. Mr. Gook, how does it feel to be so popular? You've been unanimously elected to pick out Mr. Rubish's presents this Christmas.
Wasn't it Miss Hollins told you that?
Yeah.
Well, after all, maybe it is a compliment to him.
Here's another comical fella. Oh, excuse me, Mom. Gov, here's another comical fella. W.Z. Scrang.
What's W.Z. Scrang's contribution to the world's story of humor?
Machine oil, Mackinac, monkey wrench, and macaroni.
Oh, my side.
Well, haven't you got any ideas for Mr. Rubish's present?
No.
Have you started collecting the money?
I've started collecting pledges. I have to buy whatever I buy out of my own pocket. I won't get any cash from anybody till way after Christmas. And then I get stuck for a young fortune.
It's a darn imposition.
You never spoke truer words.
Still and all, though, maybe it is kind of a halfway compliment.
How you figure?
Well, maybe the office people selected you because you got the name for being trustworthy and thorough and painstaking. I bet they did.
They selected me because they got me pegged for an easy mark. Let old Vic Gook do it. Old Vic Gook's a good egg.
Sure, there you are. Old Vic Gook's a good egg.
Here's a serious one, Gov. Henry A. Freak. Garters, umbrella, suspenders, or saxophone?
And that's serious?
It's not silly like this is one of E.O. Saunders.
What's E.O. Saunders?
Sardine, celery, steamed calliope, and sandwiches.
Ha, 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 ha. E.O. Saunders should be on the stage. Sardine, celery, steamed calliope, and sandwiches. Absolutely the funniest joke I ever heard in my life.
Oh, babe, put them slips of paper away, why don't you? You're just getting yourself worked up. Christmas isn't tomorrow. You don't have to fret and worry tonight.
Okay. I'll not beat my brains out on this matter anymore tonight.
I'll read you what it says in the paper about him tearing up West Chestnut Street.
Yeah, read me those sweet tidings. Beguile me with that dear story. You listen too, Russell. You're of an age now where you can appreciate the subtle and elusive beauty of a gang of guys going out on West Chestnut Street and tearing up the pavement.
Okay.
Read, C.D.
Says, city engineers have announced that street repairs have been approved for 5 locations on the west side. The 900 block on West Chestnut will be the first...
QP Slits.
Huh?
I just come across Mr. QP Slits' suggestion for a Christmas present for Mr. Rubers.
Mr. QP Slits' suggestion, did he?
Huh?
What are they, Rattel?
Paper plates, potato pans, parasols, and putty.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And so we leave Mrs. Beach and Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Don't forget to listen. Ed Roberts speaking.